In the book of Psalms, chapter number 27, the Bible says this: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I'm always encouraged when I read words like that coming from the Holy Script of the Bible, because I know that no matter what happens in my life, no matter what tragedies might come, no matter what type of situations we have in the world at this time and in the past and in the future to come, that God's always got my back. And I like that, because if I want anybody to have my back, I want it to be God. Now, I love y'all, and I'm glad you pray for me when I'm sick, and we pray for each other, and I love my wife. You know, she made me a wonderful breakfast this morning, and because she knew I needed some nourishment in my body to be able to get up and preach. And I love all of that, and I love the support and everything that people give me, the words, the encouraging words that people say. But one person I truly depend on is God, because I know God will always have my back. There's a scripture in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, and I think about this as well in verse number 28, and some of you know it real well. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." No matter what we go through in life, no matter the things that are happening, we have all this going on in the world with the COVID-19 and all the many things that are happening. Believe this: for the child of God, God will make it work for the good. Trust God. He's always got your back. So good to see everybody this morning. Good to be here. God has given us another opportunity, another great blessing to come together in the house of God, to be able to worship together, to praise his name, to encourage each other, to edify each other, so that we prepare ourselves and get ourselves together for the week that's here to come, keeping our mind focused on that which we need to do, because God is always there providing for us. The proverbian writer would write this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will direct your path." You believe that this morning? Keep trusting in God. Keep following God. God will direct your path. I feel today that he directed my path here so that I can be with you, present a lesson, and be encouraged by seeing your smiling faces, even behind the masks, and knowing that God is with us. So good to have you here this morning. If you have your Bibles, Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. This great book of the Bible, here written by, we believe, by the man Joshua, and gives us some great insight as to God's dealing with his people to help us to understand how God deals with his people today. In Joshua chapter 3, and beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Achaiah Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and cross over before the people. For they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that you may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Today I thought that I would speak on the subject, one more river to cross. One more river to cross. As I said earlier, I'm always encouraged when I read about God's blessings and how God blesses his people. There's no doubt that his providential care is unwavering. His care and his love for his people, unwavering. And here we read, after 40 years of journeying and many lives lost, that the land that the Bible describes as the land of milk and honey, the promised land that these children of Israel were looking for and striving to be, it was right there now on the horizon. And the people of God who had been promised this land had one more river journey to go before they can reach the goal of possessing this land. During this time, Moses, who was their great deliverer from Egyptian bondage, had died. And now there was a new leader who has come to take the mantle by the name of Joshua. And Joshua was given this charge to lead these sometimes stubborn and hard-headed people to the land that God had promised to them, the land that God said that they could have. But in order to get there, they had to cross the great Jordan River. Now, I want you to notice that in order for them to do this, God had given them some commands to do in order for them to receive the blessing in which he had promised to them. Look at the text once again. In verse number 2, it says, so it was after 3 days, the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You see, God had given them some precise instructions as to what they were to prepare themselves to do in order to make it into the promised land. Now, notice that in the verse here, the Bible says that in verse 4, that they were yet to leave a space between you and it. That is the Ark of the Covenant. And it says that do not come near it. Well, actually, it says about 2,000 cubic measures. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Now, I did some calculations about cubits because I didn't grow up learning about cubics. I learned about yards. So I looked at this and I said, well, 2,000 cubits, according to the mathematical scale, is about 1,000 yards, which is about 10 football fields. So God had told them to stay the distance of 10 football fields from the Ark of the Covenant. They were to look, they were to see where it was going. And the reason why he told them this is because he said, you need some direction because you have never been here before. I think about that with God today and how God gives us instructions on what we are to do and how we are to come to him, how we are to obey the gospel, and in what way we are to obey the gospel. And we need to follow his instructions because we have never been this way before. God has given to us what we need to know and what we need to do in order to be obedient to him, and we need to listen. Just as these people here, there was one thing that was very critical for them, that they would follow God and be able to see where God is leading them. Because we can't be trying to follow God when we're trying to walk ahead of him. We can't be trying to follow God when we're trying to lead ourselves and instead of letting God lead us. There's too many people in the world want to tell God what they want to do in service to him, what they want to do in worship to him, what they want to do when it comes to obeying his will, instead of just following God and listening to what God has for them to do. Israel would have never made it across the Jordan if they had not let God lead them. And God was giving them instructions on what they needed to do. He says, you stay far enough away so that you can see where I'm taking you. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 5 and verse number 8, the psalmist David says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness, because my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. So the first thing we need to do is know how to follow and how to be led by God. And this is what Israel had to do. They had to listen, they had to obey, because God is telling them exactly what they needed to do in order to make it over to the promised land. And then in verse number 5 of our text, notice what Joshua says to the people. He says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. Some of you might have the word consecrate yourself. He says, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. This word sanctify, consecrate, it means to be set apart or to dedicate yourself to God. In other words, what Joshua was telling them to do is make yourself ready for what God is going to bless you with. That's how we consecrate ourselves, by being obedient to God's word, by listening to God's word, by following his word. Because God is ready to bless us if we are willing to give ourselves over to him. Now, just like the blessings of the promised land that God was given to those who were under an old covenant, today God's spiritual blessings belong to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you look at the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, the Bible says, and blessed be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. You see, God has a blessing waiting for you. God wants to bless his children. But first, his children have to make themselves or take the opportunity that God has given to us in order to sanctify ourselves, to consecrate ourselves and to doing God's will. That's why we are to make ourselves a holy sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 tells us that. Making ourselves a holy sacrifice so that we might be able to be pleasing to God and do God's will. God's spiritual blessings are waiting for us if we will follow and do as God instructed us to do. Israel was told to sanctify themselves. The church should be sanctified. The church should be holy. Therefore, God's blessing will be upon us. Now, notice they had an ark to follow. But for us, we have to follow Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant of God, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 24. And then looking back at the text again, notice that Joshua, after he gives them these specific duties to the priest to do, I want you to pay a close attention to verse number 9 of this text. The Bible says, "So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here,' he says, 'and hear the words of the Lord your God.'" You know, everyone who wants to be a leader of God's people, preachers, elders, teachers, we need to always remember that when it comes to instructing God's children, that we need to point them to God's words and not our own. You know, the reason why there is so much division in the religious world today is because too many people are guiding people in their own words and not the words of God. And this is where we have the problem. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what someone who claims that they can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says. Because, see, God means what he says, but God doesn't always mean what you say he means. And we need to be careful, because people will give you scripture from their book rather than from God's book. This is why, if you look over at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Bible over here gives us fair warning and understanding about exactly where Scripture came from. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and beginning of verse number 20, the Bible says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation." That means I can't take God's word and make it my own. I can't take God's word and say, this is what it means to me. Because God's word means to me what it means to you. And there's no private interpretation. And then he says, "For the prophecy never came by the will of man." In other words, the men who penned this Bible, they didn't interpret this themselves. It says that they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And this is why the same writer Peter, in 1 Peter 4 and 11, he says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." Joshua was bringing the people together, and notice that he says in verse 9, that you come here and hear the words of the Lord. Not his words, but to hear the words of the Lord. Why? Because then, in verse 10, it says, "And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you.'" I think of the scripture in John chapter 4. You probably remember the story. Jesus came to a woman, a Samaritan woman, at the well, and he had asked her for water, and she, of course, said that he didn't have anything to put water in, and he said, "If you had asked me, I would give you living water," and then he told her about her life. And this woman was so amazed that she left her water pots and ran back to the city to tell people about this man that had told her everything about her life. And the Bible says that many people came running to see this man. And as they came, Jesus began to speak to them. And in verse 41 and 42 of John chapter 4, the Bible said, "And many more believed because of his own word." And then if you look at verse number 42, then the Bible says, "Then they said to the woman," now remember, the woman is the one that came back and told them about Christ, and they believed her enough to go and see what was going on. But now they say that they believed of his own word, and they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." You see, they weren't convinced by the words of someone else, but now they were convinced by the words of the Master. And that's how it should be in our lives. We should not be convinced by the words of someone else, but the words of what God has given to us and how God has given us his word to prepare us for what needs to come. When we let God talk, there's no confusion. But when we listen to the word of man, we have confusion every time. And then further on in verse 10, he says that you will know that the living God is among you. And then he says, "And that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gigazites, the Amorites, and all those other rites." Then he said that he will drive out from among them. Now, this lets me know that no matter what situation might come, God is ready to root out any obstacle in their way, and in same to us, God will root out any obstacle that might be in our way as well. He will give us what you might say the ability to preserve and in times of temptation and in times of trouble. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 31 and 5, of God's protection. The Bible says, "Like birds flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. Defending, he will also deliver it. Passing over, he will preserve." Now, as God would protect Jerusalem of old, physical Jerusalem, don't you think that he would protect his spiritual Jerusalem, which is the church? According to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 22, we are the new Jerusalem, the church of the living God. And as God protected Jerusalem, physical Jerusalem, he will certainly protect spiritual Jerusalem as well. This is why when we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, where it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man." You know, when I read that, I think of the fact that we're going to go through some stuff. Satan, our adversary, is not always just going to lay back and say, "Oh, you got baptized into Christ, that's fine, I'm going to leave you alone." No, you're the person he's coming after. But God will always look out for his children as long as his children continue to obey his will. Look what it says. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. But God is faithful," that means you can trust him, "who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, he will always make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it." We just need to hang on. We just need to trust in God, because no matter what type of things might come our way, God will help us through it. You ever heard the saying that people say that, you know, if you haven't been in a storm, just wait, you're going to go through one. And if you're in a storm, you're on your way out of it, because God is there to help you through. We're going to go through some things in life, but God will help us to make it through without us having to fall back into sin. No temptation, he says, has overtaken you except such as common to man. But as we look at Israel and we see that God has blessed them and what God would do for them, there was still one more thing that they had to do, because they still had to cross over the Jordan River. Now recognize in verse number 11, God says, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan." You know, they could not get there on their own accord. They needed God. If they had tried to walk out there into the river without following the ark of the covenant, they would have drowned. Because it was God who gave the instructions on what to do, how to do, and then when the time was right, God was going to take them across. And we must understand this too. When it comes to our salvation and to our making it to heaven, we need to know that without God, without being obedient to his word, we cannot make it there. We have to follow God. We have to do his will. We have to look and see where God is leading us in order for us to make it to that promised land. And then I kind of mentioned this earlier, but when we look at what Israel had to go through, how they had to wander through the wilderness for 40 years before they had to get there to live in that promised land. 40 years and many lives lost. And as they were following through, they were coming across all these sinful nations and all the distractions and all the things that would try to keep them from making it to the goal in which God would have them to be. And I thought about how even today, in the world today, that we are so filled with sin, and for us, it's like we're wandering through this wilderness of life, going through the things of life and the obstacles that come in our way, all the things that try to sway us off our course of making it to our promised land. And we need to realize that they're nothing but distractions. They're nothing but what Satan wants to put in our way to keep us from doing God's will and missing out on what God has ready for us. Because if you look at it, the child of God is informed that by the word that this life is not going to be carefree. God's word tells us this. This life is not going to be carefree and without troubles. If you remember in the book of James, I believe, it's chapter 1 and verse number 2. James says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Israel had to go through some things. Those 40 years of travel, the temptations, the things that we did that they had faltered to, the many lives that were lost. We too are going through a wilderness of sin and dealing with the things that we have to deal with. But James says that if we stay strong, if we endure temptation, it says that we will be approved by God and we will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Is it going to be easy? It never is. But let me see if maybe we can get some qualities needed for trials. If you look a little further in verse number 19 of what James says in that chapter, he says, "So then, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." You see, in order for us to be able to deal with these temptations, God's words give us some meaningful words. He says, you be swift to hear. Don't always try to be out talking to everybody. Don't always think that you got the right words. Don't always think you have the right answer. You need to sometimes sit back and listen, and mainly listen to God. And then it says, slow to speak. Make sure you, when you speak, that the words that you say are meaningful. The words that you say are from God. Because we need to keep our mind focused on what God would have us to do in everything that we do. And then, of course, it says slow to wrath. You know how people sometimes they get upset and mad at certain things and ready to take vengeance on something or ready to give up because they are so angry about things? God says, you hang in there. Just hang in there, because better days will be coming. These are some of the things, because God says, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And we want to be in a situation where we are righteous, holy, unblameable in God's sight, because God would have us to be so to make it through to our promised land. Sometimes we go through things in life, just like Israel, and those tempting things that test our faith. I think about the fact that when we have a death of a loved one, that's a test of our faith. When we lose a job, that's a test of our faith. Some people, they don't know how I'm going to make it. I've lost my income. I've got rent to pay. I got a mortgage to pay. I got food to put on the table. I have children that need things. And now my job is gone. These are things that test our faith. I have a debilitating injury, and I can't work anymore, or it's something that is really troubling in my mind. Those are tests of our faith. We come up with a disease. We have something that has crippled our bodies. Those are tests of our faith. Because a lot of people will fall apart. A lot of people will say, you know, well, where is God for me now? How am I going to survive this? Well, I think of Job. When God allowed Satan to buffet him. And he first took all his possessions, and God and Job would not sin. And then he took the lives of his children, and still he would not sin. And then he took his health from him. And at this point, now his wife comes to him and says, why do you hold on to your integrity? Just curse God and die. And you know what Job said to him? You foolish woman. He's like, how can I accept the good from him and not accept the bad? He would early on say that God giveth and God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to be tested in our faith. Israel was tested. But in order to make the promised land, they were going to have to be obedient to what God has instructed them to do and stay strong and follow through. There's going to be some rough roads. There's going to be some low valleys and some rough mountains to climb. There's going to be some stormy challenges that we have to deal with. But remember, God is always on our side. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1 that there is a rest waiting for the faithful. Now, it's not the rest that Israel was promised from their labors over in Egypt or the entering into a physical promised land. See, that was just a temporary rest. But the rest for the faithful, what we recognize when we reach those golden shores of heaven and hear those words from our loving Savior, welcome in our good, my good and faithful servant. Then the Bible says that we will rest from our labors, as is written in Revelation chapter 14, in the 14th verse and 13th verse, when it says, "Then the Lord heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." But be warned, that we could come short of that blessing. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse number 1, when speaking of that rest, the Bible says this: "Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise of being left, of entering into his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it." Now, you might wonder, why should we fear? Why should the children of God fear? Especially, you know, why should the Christian fear this? Well, it's because as great as this eternal reward is, we are always, as long as we are on this earth, subject of forfeiting our eternity. As long as we live in the flesh, we are subject to forfeiting our eternity, because we have an adversary called Satan who does nothing but opposes us day and night and try to distract us from our eternal goal. The temptations of necessary labors of life, they constantly come upon us. They work to produce, let's say, just a moment of doubt in our lives. Inaction can lead us to falling in everlasting ruin. And this fear, of course, sometimes enforced by the fact that we see how other people around us who have been so faithful sometimes fall away and fail to reach the promised goal. Now, I know there are a lot of people who don't just boldly turn against God. There are some. But there are a lot of people who don't boldly turn against God, but they allow inattention to spiritual things that begin to turn them and make them careless in the things that they know they should be doing. They become careless in attending worship service. They neglect the prayers, the daily prayers and the study of God's word. And then the things that happen in their lives and due time, the worldly pleasures of their loving friends that they have, they begin to divert their attention away from their first love. And this is what begins to happen. And before long, our whole conduct of life has changed. And we start doing opposite of what we need to do in order to keep that path of honor and duty to God. This is a warning here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. He said, "Let us fear, therefore, lest haply the promise of being left, of entering into that rest." This is why the Bible exhorts us to stay strong. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14, Paul talks about that. He said we have to stay strong, continue in this move, because we need to continue to press towards the goal. Our goal is heaven. And we need to remember that in order to get there, we have to stay obedient to God and to do his will. Because when we look back at all of this, Once we reach there, we're going to say that it was worth it all. But as Joshua exhorted the people to sanctify themselves, I think of what we need to do and what we are told to do as well. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 40, after the apostle Peter had preached the first gospel sermon, and the people responded and asked the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And then the Bible says that he went on and spoke a little more to them. But in verse 20, he would say this to them. "Be saved," he said. And some of your scripture says, "Save yourselves from this perverse generation." Well, he had just told them what to do to be saved. But now he says you need to save yourself. What he's telling them is that you need to save yourself according to what you just heard. Because the decision comes to you. You might hear the word, but will you obey it? Because the word is solid. It's there. It has what you need to do in order to save your soul. But now it's up to you to come and obey it. The answer is clear. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And then if we do that, and we continue to live faithful unto death, when we get to our one more river to cross, God will lead us through. Because heaven is the place I want to be. And I pray it's the place you want to be as well. But you can't get there by yourself. We need God. There might be some here today who have not obeyed the gospel. And if you have not, when you reach that river shore, you will not enter in. You need to come by hearing the word of God, by believing it, by repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism, so that you might be on your way to that eternal glory, living with God in that eternal rest that God has waiting for us. And if you have not been faithful to God, your opportunity now to come and get it right before it's everlasting too late. Don't wait till you reach that river shore. Come to him now as we stand and sing the invitation song.